well known that a number of Rishonim had a discussion about what exactly was the breakdown of the 613 mitzvahs. So the Ramban made his own count, and the Rambam made his own count. And it's fascinating that if you look in the Ramban, in the very beginning of his commentary on the Rambam's count of the mitzvahs, he says, who even said in the first place that this premise is correct? Whoever said that there really are 613 mitzvahs? We all work off of that assumption, but the Ramban says it's not really clear where that assumption came from. There is some sort of intimation to that from the Gemara, but it's not really clear exactly where the number came from. But either way, the assumption that most of the Rishonim work off of is that there are 613 mitzvahs. And the Rambam lists what he considers to be the 613. And every time the Ramban takes one out, he's left with a problem because now he has to in some way create a new one, because he also has to fill in the quota. So the Rambam says, from our parsha we learn that there is a mitzvah, as we refer to it as, La'avdo b'chal levavchem. Says the Rambam, not only in his count of the mitzvahs, but he writes it in the beginning of the Hilchos Tefillah as well, Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph, that we learn from our parsha, La'avdo b'chal levavchem, ezohi avoda shebalev. What does it mean that you have to serve God with your heart? Zu tefillah. That means that you have to give him your heart through the venue of tefillah. And therefore the Rambam says we have a biblical obligation every day to daven. And the Ramban says that he doesn't believe that that is the case. La'avda b'chal levavchem is not an indication that we have an obligation to daven every day. And the Ramban says that our obligation biblically of tefillah is limited only to what we refer to as an eis tzara, when a person is in an urgent need, when you're in a crisis, when there's some sort of emergency. Then we assume that you have an obligation to call out to God and to discuss the problem. But if you're just living life and everything seems to be fine, the Ramban feels there is no biblical obligation to put forth a tefillah and speak to God in that way. And the Rambam seems to disagree. And the Rav Soloveitchik had a comment in which he said that really there is a very small disagreement here between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam and the Ramban both agree that the only obligation that you have to pray is when you're in an eis tzara, when you're in some sort of difficult circumstance, when you're in a predicament. However, they just disagree as to what is defined as an eis tzara. The Ramban says, he would say, some unusual event in your life, something that's very terrible, something that you're anxious about, that's called an eis tzara, and that's the only time you have an obligation to daven. And the Rambam disagrees and he says, no. Every moment of life is considered an urgent need. Every moment of life is an eis tzara, because we know that life can be so unpredictable and life can be so fickle and life can be so arbitrary. You can be going out to a restaurant and a gunman walks in, Rahmana Litzlan, and you see in Toronto what just happened last week. People who in the morning said goodbye to their children on their way to school never thought that at the end of the day their children would be left without parents. And how many times have we seen in Israel people go out to a supermarket, people go out to a restaurant, people go out just to go about their daily activities, and yet we all know, unfortunately, that life is so erratic and life is so unpredictable, and therefore the Rambam says every day, every moment of life is considered to be an eis tzara. And this is why we have an obligation to call out to the Ribono Shel Olam at every moment of our lives, because tefillah is the way that we are supposed to express ourselves at the urgent times of life, which the Rambam believes is every day of life. We should believe that every day of life is considered to be an urgent and critical need, because you never know what's going to happen. It should be noted that although the Ramban feels that we do not have a biblical obligation to daven every day, there is one time of year that the Ramban agrees that we have an obligation biblically to daven, and that is, the Beis Yosef quotes the Ramban in Parshas Emor, that when a person comes to an experience of a yomtiv, so he says the Torah refers to that as mikroi kodesh, and therefore says the Beis Yosef, that means that it has to be a mikra, a holy assemblage where everybody comes together and calls out to God himself. Therefore says the Beis Yosef, we have a biblical obligation to daven, not every day, but we have an obligation certainly to daven on yomtiv. And I think about it often how sometimes women try to find the time to daven. We're going to discuss in a minute whether they actually have an obligation. But Yom Tov, they're so busy with the kids running around and with all the guests they're having and all the company and all the food they're cooking. And Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook. So we have all these other considerations, and sometimes they don't even find the time to daven. It's not a condemnation, it's just what happens. And it should be noted that even according to those who believe that tefillah every day might not be an obligation, on Yom Tov, certainly it's an obligation, because the Torah calls it Mikra Kodesh, so we should really make sure to go out of our way that on Yom Tov certainly we have time in order to express ourselves in tefillah. The Rambam describes, when he talks about the nature of tefillah, the Rambam says, Hakol yiyu mispalim nochach hamigdash b'chol makom sheyiyeh. In the defining characteristics of what tefillah is, the Rambam writes, we have to face the Makom HaMikdash, wherever we might be in the world, it seems that we have to face V'chein haya davar tamid mi-Moshe Rabbeinu ad Ezra. This is what all of the great people did from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until Ezra. That is what they all did. They always would face toward Yerushalayim. And Rav Soloveitchik said, it seems from the formulation of the Rambam that this is an integral part of tefillah. It's not just another detail that you should stand with your feet together and also you should face Yerushalayim, but it seems from the way the Rambam formulates and sets up the halacha, it would seem that this is a very critical component to the tefillah. It is important that you face Yerushalayim, and the Rambam learns that from Moshe Rabbeinu and all the great people who led up until then. There is a very beautiful comment that the Rambam makes. It's something that is a very contentious point, but he makes it in what we refer to as the Morah Nevuchim. The Rambam had what he has basically a compendium of Hashkafa about Jewish religion, and he says the following there. Be'emes, the truth is, he says, Iker avodas Hashem hu b'derech hatfila. The main way to serve God is through the venue of tefillah. So we have many different ways that we serve God. We do chesed, and we give tzedakah, and we do so many different activities throughout the day. But says the Rambam, the main avodas Hashem that a person should be involved in is tefillah. That is the most powerful venue. Kedichsiv, because the pasuk says in our parasha, la'avdo b'chal levavchem. V'lo nasan lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKarbanos. So you'll say to yourself, well, in the times of a Beis Hamikdash, certainly it was far greater to serve God, not through the venue of tefillah, but through coming to the Beis Hamikdash, offering a karbon. That was probably the best way to serve Him. Says the Rambam, mistake. That's not correct. The greatest and most profound and powerful way to serve the Ribono Shel Olam is through tefillah. Aye, where did karbonos come from? What's that all about? Listen to what the Rambam says, and it's a fascinating point. Lo nasan lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu karbonos. Why did God give us this obligation to bring karbanos in the Beis Hamikdash? Ela b'chdei lahotzi avodah zarah milibam shel Yisrael. The objective of the karbanos was to take the interest in avodah zarah away from the Jewish people. What does that mean? So he suggests sheba'avur she'amitzrim v'hakasdiim asher hayu Yisrael geirim v'toshavim be'artzam me'olam hayu ovdim la'bakar v'latzon. All the nations of the world that we were inhabiting their lands in many, many decades ago, many generations ago, they all used to worship their animals. And therefore, says the Rambam, Ba'avur came because we were so overly exposed to generations of people who were serving animals. Therefore, God said, Tziva lishchot eila hashlosha midim l'shem anechbad. God said, take those animals and sacrifice them and slaughter them to show that you don't believe in avodah zarah. So all of the whole category of karbanos was not really the main focus of why it is that we connect to God. That was just to take us away from avodah zarah. But the real way to focus our attention and to connect with the Ribono Shel Olam himself, says the Rambam, is Iker avodah zu hi hatfila. Because that's what it says in our parsha. Va'avadatem, that we have an obligation to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ve'ezu hi avodah shebalev zu tefillah. That's what the Gemara says. So this is a comment that the Rambam makes, and the Ramban completely rejects this assumption, and he says, how can you say such a thing? He calls it, I believe, divrei havoi. He says, the Rambam, he woke up on the wrong side of the bed. What happened? That's really what you believe? All those psukim and chumash where we're told, bring this carbon and that carbon and wake up every day, and that's the way the Beis Hamikdash runs, and this is the reason why we're there? You're going to tell me all of that is just to take us away from that evil inclination of serving an animal, of serving avodah zarah? Is that really how cheap our karbanos are? There must be something more to it, and the Ramban says we cannot accept that. But either way, whether you accept the opinion of the Rambam or the Ramban, what you see clearly is that the Torah assumes that there is a tremendous power to the avodah that we do through our tefillah. Tefillah is supposed to be the major focus of our attention and how we connect with the Ribono Shel Olam himself. So we have a principle that we all know probably very well, that whenever you have a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, whenever you have a mitzvah that is contingent on a particular time, so we know the halacha is that women are not obligated to perform those mitzvahs. Sometimes you think about that category and you say, wow, it must be hundreds of mitzvahs. When you break it down, with all the exceptions to the rule and all the reasons why that rule would not apply in certain circumstances, you break it down and you ask yourself, how many mitzvahs are there that women are not obligated to fulfill because of this time-bound consideration? Anybody know? Answer to that is about 7 or 8. If you count an extra one, maybe 9. But 7, 8, or 9, that's the whole story. Mitzvah saseh shehazman grama is a very small category of mitzvahs that women do not have an obligation to fulfill. But outside of that, they have an obligation to do everything. Says the Gemara, Nashim va'avanim uktanim. When you have women who generally have this patur, therefore, patur mi kriyashma, they don't have to put on tefillin every day, they don't have to say kriyashma every day. Why? Because kriyashma needs to be said at a very particular time of day. Tefillin have to be worn only during the day, and therefore they don't have an obligation. However, says the Gemara, they have an obligation to be mispalo. They have an obligation to daven. And the obvious question that the Gemara asks is, why should they have to daven? We know that there are very particular times in which one must daven every day. You have to daven shachris, mincha, and marib. You can't just daven whenever you want. So why should a woman be obligated to daven? And the Gemara answers, because tefillah is rachamei ninu, because tefillah is our venue of asking God for His mercy. So what are you going to tell me, says Rashi? You're going to tell me only men need help from God and women don't need that? Obviously, women need the help the same as the men, or perhaps more sometimes, and therefore we assume that the women need to carve out a space for themselves to daven as well. And this is basically the halacha that is assumed. The Mishnah Berurah comes to the conclusion that we generally assume that women have an obligation to daven the same way that men do. I was in a camp this summer where you had lots and lots of women there, and sometimes they were busy and they asked me that they didn't have a chance to daven when they were supposed to within the Zman, and they wanted to daven after the Zman Tefillah. So I said, I don't think it is appropriate to daven after the Zman Tefillah. Once you missed it, you missed it. So they said, well, the minhag of women all over the world is that we daven after the Zman Tefillah. We don't worry about the Zmanim at all. I don't think that is a correct practice at all. If you look in the writings of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and you look in many others, they assume that women really, if they're going to make time to daven, they should try and make the time to daven within the right Zman. You shouldn't just arbitrarily get up and decide to daven whenever you want. A tefillah should be offered within the proper Zman, exactly when it is supposed to be done. Now, it just so happens to be that women don't always have time to daven. And in fact, it says the children of the Chafetz Chaim write about their mother. I assume she was a very pious woman. After all, she was married to the Chafetz Chaim. I would imagine she was a very special woman, though I know nothing about her. They say the following. Imizal, the son of the Chafetz Chaim, Rabbeinu Aryeh. I don't know much about him either, but he says that his mother, kemat velo hispalala, she would never daven. Kozman shela yatsanu mitachas yadea. When we were young children and she was taking care of us, we never saw her daven, he says. Be'amrali, and she told me, I once asked her, you're sending us to cheder, you're asking us to daven, how can we never see you daven? And she said, ki avi patra mizeh, that my father, the Chafetz Chaim, told her that she doesn't have to daven. Mishum shehi osekes begidol baneha, because there's a full-time job. Taking care of the kids is something that she has to do all the time, and therefore, he told her that this is something that she does not have an obligation to do. So the question is, yes, if women have an obligation to daven according to most of the Rishonim, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch seems to assume as well, if that is the case, which parts of davening do they have an obligation to daven? Does it mean even Sukkah de Zimra? Does it mean every part of davening that the men daven? Or perhaps we have a right to say they can abridge the form of davening and they can daven something that is much shorter than a man would have to do? That is a interesting question, not enough time to discuss it, but obviously in the basic general category we would assume that a woman certainly does have an obligation to daven as per the opinion of many of the Rishonim. And because that is the case, we also would assume that a woman who does make time to daven should make sure that she davens within the Zman Tefillah. It would not be appropriate for her to daven arbitrarily throughout the day whenever she wants. The proper thing would be that once you're making the time to daven, it should really be done in the proper fashion, and it should be davened at the right Zmanim that are set out for us by Chazal themselves. Rav Hanani ben Akash.